What is going on, people? This is Elder Tenshi. Welcome to a brand new episode of On the Brain. Sorry, it's been a minute since the last recording. A lot has been happening. Good and bad. I'm not going to get into it right now, but you know what? Let's have a little bit of fun. I decided if I'm going to come back, I can't just do exactly the same stuff that I did months ago. Usually we go right into a plethora of topics, and I figured, you know what, since we're talking on the brain, straight up nerdy topics, let's drop some science every once in a while. So I got my homeboy with me from Who They Want Entertainment LLC. Introduce yourself, sir.
What's good, people? This is DJ Steady. Are you ready? Also known as the Late Night Teddy. Ladies, do you hear me? I am here in the building with my bro Elder Tenshi.
Yeah, man. Oh, I get it. You just guest spotting, trying to get some love. I got you. Hey, yo, ladies, he is loyal. Okay, he is an entrepreneur. He's a nerd and he's single. Just let me know. You know,
all facts.
Loyal, entrepreneurial, fun, single.
I'll let me, ladies.
All right. So I figured, hey, there's been some crazy stuff going on in the news.
Okay.
And sometimes the truth is stranger than fiction. Am I right?
You are absolutely right, my brother.
Well, that article that you just sent me before we got on here had me thinking, okay, we gotta talk about this. So in the past few months, I've heard everything from they're accidentally bringing pigs back to life, right?
Okay.
To using pig skin to basically develop artificial corneas for your eye to cure blindness, and then you have something like this. We're trying to revise extinct animals. Scientists plan resurrection of an animal that has been extinct since 1936. Explain this. This is coming straight from CNN. Almost 100 years after the extinction.
Doctor, and bring these things back. No, don't do that. Let it stay dead. It's been dead for hundreds of years. Let it continue to stay dead. It's my fault.
I was saying the same thing when I was hearing that people wanted to bring back the woolly mammoth. They found remains of a woolly mammoth recently, and they're trying to bring that back. Okay, and we know that that's for scientific study. You know, they want to learn about the evolution and everything. However, and while I do feel sad that these things have been extinct, whether it be by their own doing or by human hands, by human intervention, which let's be clear, we're killing everything in this world. I mean, they ain't really nothing I don't think we haven't touched. But this particular animal from Australia, from my understanding, there's a lot in Australia that's dangerous. Depending on where you go, there's a lot of things in there that would be dangerous. Bringing something that was extinct years ago, a century ago, geez, into a brand new environment, how do you think that's gonna go?
The same way Jurassic World went, they just gonna start taking over. Like, it's gonna backfire in some strange way because we have the primitive nature to feel like we can domesticate anything we create, right? But you don't know temporary, like, when you start tempering, like that movie Deep Blue Sea, like when that lady started messing with the shark's mind and made like an intelligent genetic shark, like stop trying to tamper with stuff that don't need to be tampered with. If it's been extinct for this long, bringing it back to see what it's going to do? Is it going to procreate? Is it going to redevelop? Stop.
Something tells me that if they were to do this, because we have forcibly crossbred with one animal with another animal, like the liger, for example.
My favorite.
And while that was a, you know, while that was great to see, like I remember actually seeing a first time ever seeing a liger was on, was on TV. Believe it or not, that was on MTV Super Sweet 16. They had a kid riding into his birthday party with a liger. And I did not know at the time those things existed, but apparently they're technically not supposed to. And when you crossbreed animals like that, there's a possibility that they may be, it's just like a horse with a donkey. Now that could happen naturally, but once a mule is born, there's something about it that's different. It's sterile, right? So with other animals that aren't supposed to be, you know, that aren't supposed to be crossbred, there's always a mutation or something, right? So, and I'm not saying that's what they're going to do if they bring back this Tasmanian tiger, but it seems like something that might come next. If they're like, oh, hey, we can revise this ancient, this ancient extinct animal. Either people are going to come and try and poach it, or they're going to study it, crossbreed it, and then let's see what else we get. I mean,
right. Would ultimately, like, what more do you need to be the destruction of man right now? Like, with all these diseases floating around that there technically is no legal cure for, like, what more do you need? Now you need to bring animals back. Like, I feel like they just boosting, they playing Jumanji right now, right? Every time they roll the dice. Let's just be real. Like, I feel like it's a Jumanji game for us. And every time they rolling this dice, they looking for how can we make the human nature world go extinct? And then send all the rich people to a whole nother planet while we just kill off the poor people that can't, you know, get it right.
Yeah. I understand one thing, though. We have hunted a lot of animals to extinction, whether it be for profit or for sport. And I understand that they didn't deserve that. Just like humans don't deserve to get gunned down at the prime of their lives. Animals don't either. You know what I'm saying? So, it's, and I'm not trying to get on no, like, some PETA box or anything like that. I'm just saying that while we may have the ability to do it, should we?
I vote no.
I vote no. But anybody who's listening to this podcast right now, leave a review on this episode. Tell us what you think of this particular part of the, particular part of the show. And if you had the ability to bring back an animal, an extinct animal, would you do it? And what kind of animal would it be? Let us know in the reviews. We are everywhere you get your podcast fixed. All right. So second segment, let's talk about some trailers. Okay. So Netflix, at this point, getting to be the most expensive, the granddaddy of streaming, but the most expensive platform. Mm-hmm. I thought that the most expensive platform, at least in the U.S., was going to be HBO Max. And then what did Netflix do? They were like, okay, no, hold my beer. We need more money because we're losing subscribers left and right. And y'all over here sharing your information, even though we encouraged you to do it back in 2016, 2017, but I ain't going to go there. But now they're just, they keep releasing stuff back to back and back and back, which is why I still have my Netflix account. I ain't going to lie. There's always something. There's always something that I see that I'm interested in. Oh, like, oh, okay. Let's check out this documentary. Click. Let's check out this new animation. Click. Oh, let's check this out. Click. But one thing that I was looking forward to was when they said last year that they were going to be doing a Addams Family reboot brought to us by Tim Burton.
Right.
And then they give us the information that it's going to be centered on the character of Wednesday, which was a lot of people's favorite growing up. Big ups to Christina Ricci. Then they dropped this trailer and I'm like, yes, yes to this. Now they called it a teaser. This is what I don't get. They call it a teaser. It's more than 2 minutes long and you're calling it a teaser. I feel like we got enough information.
Thank you. Thank you, Netflix, for releasing this beautiful trailer today.
Like, what did you think of it, man?
First of all, as a fan of the Addams Family itself, and to see a reboot in the 2000s era is phenomenal, right? And of course, like you said, Wednesday Addams being everybody's beloved mistress of darkness favorite character of the series or movies or whatever. Like, I think it's phenomenal.
Yeah, so the pictures came out before the trailer did. Everybody in these pictures, they look great. They look great. And the thing is, like, I know Addams Family has been rebooted a few times in our lifetime. Like, we got the OG New Yorker cartoons on the, you know, that you can always look up. We have the reboot from, remember ABC used to have a Saturday morning cartoon show?
Yeah.
And that has yet to be legally distributed, at least in the U.S., from my understanding. We got the movies from the early, you know, from the early 90s. You know, those are classics in a lot of people's eyes. Respect. And then you have something that I don't see too many people talking about. There was a new Addams Family show in the early 2000s, late 99, early 2000s on Fox Family. And see, I'm seeing your eyes roll. Like, did that exist? Did that exist? Did I imagine that? Is that a thing? Did I even watch that?
Right. Like, I'm going through my catalog. I remember the movies. Remember Addams Family Reunion. I remember the 90s cartoon era. I'm just going to skip over the black and white original.
You can't forget. You can't forget that.
Right. From the 60s, 70s, somewhere along that era. Like, okay. Yeah, okay, now you got me with this ABC Family, the Fox Family.
Oh yeah, it was ABC Family. Well, it was Fox Family before Disney bought that, you know, that portion of it. And they had this show. I think it lasted about two seasons. It was called The All New Addams Family, and it was a bit more zany. And I remember watching reruns of that over the weekend. And the funny thing is, I don't think Wednesday, like, they weren't as dark. Like, they weren't as dark. They were gothic, sure, but it was more about the comedy. This trailer comes in dark. It's like Tim Burton ain't playing.
Oh, it's Tim Burton. You already knew you was gonna get Nightmare Before Christmas, Edward Scissorhands. Like, his usual mark is to give you something dark.
Is to give you something to Frankenweenie. That Dumbo,
Corpse's Bride,
we could go on and on. Apparently, and I didn't know this until recently, but apparently he was asked to direct the 90s Addams Family before he turned it down. He wanted to do something, you know, different. I forgot what he ended up doing. Correct me if I'm wrong, people, but he ended up turning it down and it went to another director. Now he's coming in and doing what I think he wanted to do. It's interesting though how it's mainly centering on Wednesday. I think they just wanted to do something different.
I think so too, because you got to remember, I think last year they just did release a new animation for the Addams Family movie.
The second one. Those two films I heard were dope.
They were right, especially for the new generation of people trying to get into the Addams Family life. But I see, when, like you say, with it just centering around her, it's a spinoff, right? Like, you're still going to get the family because she's that. You said, the primary focus is just to make the children pop more. Because as you know, Wednesday's not Wednesday without Pugsley beside her. So you got to have her brother for her to experiment on.
But what does she do? She comes out defending her brother from the jump. She's like, nobody tortures my brother but me.
See what I'm saying? That bond.
But I wasn't expecting there to be blood in the first few seconds. I know this is Tim Burton. I know that this is a gothic show. I was not expecting blood that early.
But we're gonna give it to you raw now.
But this is on Netflix though. This is on streaming. If this was regular cable television, they'd probably scale it down.
They definitely, it would have been oozed with some sort of slime instead of the blood.
And let's give it up. Let's give it up to Gomez and Morticia. They look great. Like that, the whole cast really look, it really looks great. But they look, you know, especially you know, ghoulish and romantic and all of that. Like they if you wanna like really, you know how people would say like couples goals, you know, in fictional characters. Look,
yeah,
you gotta put Gomez and Morticia, whatever version you want. You gotta
in
put
that category.
Really, mm-hmm. You have to put that on the like they gotta be top tier for fictional romantic couples.
I agree.
You know,
because even though there was dark and gothic sense, they wasn't like hurt and just destructive dark.
No.
It was funny, humorous. We play pranks all day. What you may find is scary, we love and enjoy type.
Exactly. And what would you see is abnormal, we see as normal, kind of like the Munsters, except the Munsters, I always felt like the Munsters and Adam's family missed out on not crossing over.
Who knows? You know, Rob Zombie's got them coming out with their own reboot as well.
Did you see the trailer for that?
Bruh, I gotta give him his A+ on like Rob Zombie's vision on this was incredible. They look identical to the original cast.
Yeah, they do. They do. It's just like the sets and some stuff look cheap, you know?
Mm-hmm. Hey, that's what you get when dealing with Rob Zombie. You thought I was going to give you all 100% $1 million. Nah, keep it cheap a little bit.
But I did find it a little weird that they didn't put it on Peacock, because this is their property. But I think Netflix swooped in and they were like, oh no, put this on our platform. We'll put it up here. It's just kind of weird the way it looks. But going back to Wednesday though, because like I said, that first teaser was enough, at least for me. I don't need a bunch of trailers or profiles or anything to get me to watch it. I already had an idea that I was going to watch it. As soon as I saw that trailer though, I was like, okay, yep, watch list, right? You know, just
immediately
click.
Plug
you nailed it. you nailed it. Man, oh man. But let us know what you think of the Wednesday trailer. Do you plan on watching Netflix? Do you even still have Netflix? A lot of people have dropped off of Netflix because it's gotten, you know, too expensive. And I can definitely understand with the amount of streaming services we have and the fact that everything has gone up. It's almost as bad or worse than having a cable bill.
Absolutely.
You know? I live alone, and this is what I do for work. I need to save some money anyway. So, you ready for the review?
Da-da-dum. I'm always for the review? Ready. I am DJ Steady. Are you ready? So you know I'm ready.
This review right here is a movie that's about a month old, but this is why. I am telling you, full spoilers. Okay. At this point, we're just gonna talk about it. Every detail we can think of, we're gonna bring it to you.
Right.
And tonight, that movie is Lightyear. All right.
Infinity and beyond.
And beyond. Yeah, hit you right in the field, don't it?
Right.
So you want to start us off, bro?
Okay. So the 2020 or 2022 Pixar Disney animation Lightyear, right? Which stars, of course, everybody's a favorite hero, Chris Evans,
Captain America. Yeah.
Right, Chris Evans, Captain America, as the voice of our beloved Mr. Captain Buzz Lightyear of Star Command. Right off the bat, I'm going to give the movie 5 stars. Right off the bat, I don't care how my co-host or my partner over here feels. I'm giving it 5 stars. beautiful animation. I love the detail. I love how you gave him his own official storyline. From the, we all know him from the Toy Story universe, you know, being voiced by the iconic Tim Allen.
Tim Allen and Patrick Warburton, if you watch the cartoon.
Right. Okay. Yep. So you got two phenomenal actors who have voiced him now. Now we got Chris Evans in the limelight, you know, coming off his Marvel contract, diving straight back into the Disney world and coming out as Captain Buzz Lightyear, like phenomenal acting skills. Just the character depictions, everything was like A+ to me, right? Because you get a storyline, him being an actual space ranger, you know, you see him in the beginning, they're in their rocket ship, they're on this, they crash course to some sort of strange world, and their whole gist of the movie is that I gotta get them back home. I'm assuming it's back to Earth where they belong, and you know, some kind of way they're on this strange alien planet with what looks like some sort of plant alien habitat or something like that, where they get attacked by these strange vines, him and his, you know, of course, Alicia Hawthorne, you know, we got a black co-star in this, like she was phenomenal. And then he has his dislikes for the rookies. They're joined by a third, you know, combatant ranger, which is a rookie, Mr. Featherhead, whoever. Like they said, it's hard to really announce.
Right.
But anyway, like they crash land on a strange alien planet, trying to get what they use as crystals to stabilize their fuel source, and they need a new fuel source. So Buzz, feeling like a failure right off the beginning, because he felt like, I couldn't repair the ship, I couldn't get us home, I'm just exiled. And then his best friend Alicia was like, look, nah, Buzz, you Buzz Lightyear, we believe in you, we trust you, you got this. Re-inspires him. Okay, over time, civilization builds up on this again strange planet, to where they just was like, you know what, I think we're gonna just rough it out here. We've built enough, we've, you know, industrialized enough to kind of keep whatever inhabitants away from us for the time being. And then Buzz decides that, hey, I'm still gonna suit back up, I'm going back, like I refuse to give up on getting us home. So this is where the story kind of takes that turn, right? Because you see Buzz traveling in outer space, trying to reach hyperspeed with these experimental crystals. He couldn't do it. Like, he spent over 60-something years just trying to, you know, break the hyperspeed barrier. And then you see the time continuum elapse in it. Like, as Buzz is traveling through time, he basically doesn't age, and the civilization around him has aged. You see his best friend get married. Spoiler alert, she marries a woman, for those of you. She's part of the Alphabet tribe, but that's neither here nor there. You know, you see them, which still puzzles me now, because she ended up having kids. I guess they adopted, I'm assuming.
I'm a guess, because there was a, it did seem like a equal ratio of you know, of male and, you know, male and female, or those who are, or those who identify as either or. And I think what I think artificial insemination played a part in that.
That you made me back to it. How can I say they adopted? She did carry the baby. You're right.
Exactly. You did see her, carry the baby. Can we get some, okay, you already gave this a 5-star rating. Cool.
Yes, I did.
But can we get some likes and dislikes from you?
Likes? I like the representation of the real Ranger, Space Ranger theory, not considering him the Buzz Lightyear, the action figure. He became Buzz Lightyear, the actual hero now, which if you followed Buzz Lightyear back in the 90s era, he did have his own spinoff, which was Buzz Lightyear Star Command anyway, which did ultimately separate him from being the toy that we loved over the years, the Toy Story franchise.
Yeah.
But dislike, only thing I can say I dislike was watching Alicia's granddaughter kind of be this goofball character when, you know, Buzz was looking for her to be like, you're going to be outstanding and strict and sturdy as your grandmother was. And then I'm looking like, but then I grew, then you got to realize she was just new to the space theories and training.
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
So as far as dislikes go, I can't really say that was a dislike. Everything I loved it, the whole Zerg, like, of insurgents. And then learning seriously who Zerg ultimately ends up being was like, okay, it takes me back to what, Toy Story 3, I think? 2 or 3?
Toy Story 2 is when they had, like, that second Buzz and Zerg fight.
Okay, it was two then. Yeah, right, with the elevator scene and everything.
Yeah.
But that's neither here nor there again. Like, I feel like it took me back there because you remember when Rex was playing the video game version of Buzz Lightyear, Star Command, trying to defeat Zerg or whatever. And then they revealed who Zerg was in that. And he was like, I'm your father. Like, they took a Star Wars reference of him being Darth Vader. It was like, look, Buzz, I'm your father. But then this film, like, spoiler alert, this film, you learn that Zerg is the future version of Buzz.
It's another version of Buzz. Not even a future version. It's more like it is a future version, but it's the version of him if he ran away after they were about to arrest him for doing what he did.
Correct. Yeah.
So immediately that took me to because they did something similar in the Buzz Lightyear cartoon back in the 2000s, except he was coming back to save, to save one of their partners, Princess Mira, right? Since this is its own thing, it kind of reminded me of, there's so many things that it kind of reminded me of, but let me scale back a little bit. Buzz is a man who is trying to make up for his mistakes, because it was his fault that they ended up stranded on that planet anyway. So his whole thing was gotta finish the mission. But because he was so laser focused on finishing the mission, he missed all that time, literally. Every time he would try and break the barrier to go to hyperspeed, time dilation would take effect and he would lose more and more time. So everybody else around him was literally aging, changing, all that stuff, but they wouldn't see him for years at a time. So imagine, if you will, your best friend is living in a whole life that you could have been a part of, but because you were so fixated on, you know, I did wrong, I owe these people so much, but they were content after a while. They were like, you know what, look, we'll probably get home someday, but we can't stop living. They found a way to actually live on that carnivorous planet, because the planet was alive. Like, I found that element to be very cool. What I can't really get behind is the thought that this is the Buzz that Andy, this was what inspired the toy, you know, because personality wise, they're similar, but very, very different. I think this is the problem when you do prequels or something related to it, because then you have some people thinking, so how does this add up to this? Right? I feel like if this was its own thing, if they just said that this is an alternative version of Buzz, then I don't think it would be, you know, too much of a problem. But as a story, it's like, are you at all surprised that, you know, that Buzz was just this destructive? Once we find out why he was, you know, as stern and everything as he was, because nobody's perfect. He told his partner's great grandchild. It's like, yeah, when I first started, I messed up after one day, and then he got better. Like things got better. He started to become the Buzz Lightyear that everybody knew. And right. his human side
for like 60 seconds. So
right. And Hawthorne, big ups to her, because she never ever stopped believing in her boy. Like they were best friends to the freaking end. But as a result of him just being laser focused on the mission, he just kept losing out on a great life. His partner gets married. They have a whole family. They leave generations behind. And then we see them die. Now, one thing that Pixar is always good for is tugging at the heartstrings, whether it be at the beginning of the film or the middle, and especially the end.
Correct.
Right. And this one, I felt like they kind of blew their load in the middle, because the biggest thing that I felt was not when Buzz met with Buzz and he was, learning about like what would have happened. And then that whole, I can only go a few years in the past type deal, that whole thing. I'm like, you know what? If you're going to explain time travel like that, fine. But it's just like in Dragon Ball Z with Trunks, right?
Right.
In Dragon Ball Z, there's so much talk about time travel during the first Android arc, and then the Goku Black saga, and nothing from that point changes, right? That's the only way I can think of like, okay, nothing's going to change. No matter what Trunks does, all he's going to do is create an alternative timeline, which is what old Buzz did, basically, right? But it's very, I get it. Every story has their own time travel rules. I get that. But for him, it's just showing the sides that he could have gone. One over here, he still keeps his humanity. The other one's like, oh no, we can completely start over. But as a result, so many people will lose their lives and have to start over too, which means that the people that you just met that are becoming Space Rangers, they don't get a chance to really live. So while I do like time travel stories, I know how messy they can get. With old Buzz, when he explained how he got back there and how he got the ship, he basically said that he was borrowing everything that he had, including the Zerg armor, was borrowed from another alien species, which we never met. Right.
Right.
We never meet the alien species. We got the robots. They got the ship. He's discovered the crystallic fusion that he needed, all that stuff, right?
Right.
But we never really get any real, like, explanation as to who this species was, how they ended up just leaving their ship. Did he defeat them? Because it just seemed like he walked into the armor, and It seemed like something that could have been explored a little better. And then the whole thing with the robots saying Zerg all the time. This is another reason why I'm thinking, okay, that alien species, there's got to be something about that, or is that just a noise that they make?
I think it was just their version of like. There was that language. I felt like that was the only, just like Groot from Guardians of the Galaxy, he's way of communication with just saying, I am Groot. I feel like all that technology, they should have built like a synthesizer or something to really get to what they were saying, because I feel like they were saying more than just Berserk the whole movie.
Yeah, and I know, like Buzz isn't, like, he's a tech guy, but not really. He's not an engineer. He's, you know, he's more of a, you know, Space Rangers are essentially cops. He's more of a cop, right? Yeah. And it, I don't know. I feel like they could have explored that a little more. Like, you have that, you literally traveled back in time, but you can only do that for like a few years, and then I don't know. There were just certain things that made me go, "What?"
But then, like you said, once you start messing with the space time continuum, yeah. I don't think it ever goes back like the same. Like, even if 50-year-old Buzz was to take that crystal and then travel back, I don't feel like it still would have been the same thing. Like,
because he was just theorizing. If we could go forward in time, why not go back? But that doesn't guarantee that if you go back, and this is just time travel rules from years of storytelling, right?
Right.
That doesn't guarantee that if you go back, you'll be able to change
anything. I don't
anything.
Because so, if you have to think about the spaceship that he just so happened to come upon after trying to, you know, escape the arrest warrant for like sneaking in and out of space or whatever, I feel like they could have still been there. Like, imagine going back in time to where your technology isn't advanced, and then you get taken over by the Berserks, like, all together. And everything okay? You seem to have an emergency on your hand?
Not an emergency. Somebody was ringing my doorbell. And now I know, why. But, yeah. So.
That's dope. Okay. We talking scientific, y'all. This whole discussion is scientific. You know when somebody's ringing your doorbell through your phone? Oh, you got one.
Oh, yeah, that's my phone's the buzzer.
Oh, okay.
When I moved into this unit, everybody has a, you know, the buzzer is the, you know, the buzzer is the phone. They set it up so you can answer through your phone. So
okay. Mm-hmm. Whatever you want to do from this point, if someone's here to see you, the man of the hour, we can. What you want to do?
It's my helper. They're just coming to help me. So yeah, we can wrap this up. But what, like, some people complained about the, you know, obviously some complained about the, you know, about the same sex couple thing. That's one thing that made it kind of unbelievable for me, that this was the story that Andy was watching back in 1994, 95, you know. But I can forget, but that's fine. You know what I'm saying? If this was its own story, I don't think it needed to be connected to, you know, to Tim Allen Buzz. I don't think it needed to be connected. If you just said that this was its own thing, you know, its own established story, fine, cool. You know, but people are going to complain about what they're going to complain about. I made my own complaints too, so I can't really say much.
I just, real quick though, I still feel like with Chris Evans voicing him, I feel like y'all still took some Marvel Captain America type of in-game synopsis and put that in there too, though.
Oh, definitely. Definitely. I mean, yeah, I wasn't the type to complain about like the performances or anything like that. It just, I feel at first, Taika Waititi playing the, you know, playing that not the one that makes everything explode. He was playing the tall one. And when we see everybody like group up and they're explaining how they got, you know, how they got there in the first place and how much time has changed, and you know, the younger Hawthorne, Kiki Palmer's character, she's like, well, I'm a Hawthorne. I'll be able to do this. Now, she just wants to carry on her grandmother's legacy.
That's right? All.
She just wants to carry on her family's legacy. But I think Buzz, just like him putting pressure on himself to be the best, he's, you know, he's kind of thinking, you know what? Not even kind of, because we already seen him at the beginning. He does not like rookies.
At all.
And the only reason why he doesn't like rookies is because he messed up as a rookie. So he's thinking, he's just projecting his feelings about the way he was you know, when he was young, because he was a knucklehead. We know this.
Interesting. That does, no, that you said it, though, it does break it out.
Yeah, he was just projecting his feelings onto them. Because think about it. If he trusted the rookie the first time at the beginning of this, then mm-hmm. the, you know, then the ship wouldn't have crashed, or at least it wouldn't have been as bad as it was if you were to at least give the rookie a chance, you know?
Right.
Everybody messes up. But because you are the, you know, the big man, you're the one that everybody trusts. You're like, everything's got to be on your shoulders. But
yeah,
but it also kind of spoke to me in this way. We're young men with disabilities, right?
Right.
We don't always like asking for help. Well, I know I don't. I definitely know I don't always like asking for help, because it makes me feel inadequate, because people already see me that way. It's been that way since I was a kid. So sometimes I feel like I have to kind of prove to the world that I can do it just like everybody else, even if I need to take my time doing it, right? Buzz, he just takes everything on his own shoulders, you know what I'm saying? And this is another reason why I feel like it didn't need to be connected to Toy Story at all. It really didn't, because the Tim Allen Buzz Lightyear, yeah, he had that attitude, but he wasn't above asking for help. Yeah, I feel like it could be something else. Like I said, people were complaining about some of the performances and, you know, and things of that nature. But I think what for me personally was the movie's downfall was its, you know, connection to Toy Story. Like, yeah, you could do all the references, like they did the line, oh, terrain seems a bit unstable, no sign yet of the air is breathable, and there seems to be no sign of intelligent life anywhere. So he's just recording himself. So that whole time he's just doing the self narration. I can buy that. What mm-hmm. I can't buy is the, you know, is his, you know, his, is his, I have to do all of this myself, attitude after a while. Like, not one time did he ever, not even during his friend's daughter's birthday, graduation, anything, he didn't slow down or anything, but it's a giant metaphor for, you know, you have to slow down and smell the roses. It's a giant metaphor for you have to be able to balance and live life. That's what I got. You know, that's what I got from it. I understand that he made a mistake and he's trying to atone for the mistake, but nobody around him is blaming him for anything. Right?
He beat himself up the whole movie.
Everybody was like, okay, this happened. You have spent years trying to get us back home. And we have learned to live on this planet. While it may not be the best of circumstances, we have made the best of a bad situation. You know what I'm saying? So that to me was what the point of the, you know, what the point of the movie was. Time is a precious thing, you know?
Agreed.
Yeah. I feel like everybody's performances here were kind of funny. While I'd wish that they would take a page from the Lightyear of Star Command animated series, because I really enjoyed that series. I'm just one fan. I don't have the power to say, hey, how about we do this story like this? Why don't we, I don't know, do a little reference to Princess Mira or this version of Zurg, or maybe, Booster or XR, anybody from that, or the little green aliens. But no, this felt like it wanted to be its own thing.
Yeah.
But because it's Pixar, and because Toy Story was such a huge, huge blockbuster, Toy Stories 1 through 3, number 4 was,
right. Yeah.
You know, I felt like they could have focused a bit more on Bo Peep, but, you know,
right.
You know, Well, that's either here nor there. Ultimately, I feel like this movie deserves a watch. I feel like it does deserve a place in the, you know, in the Pixar library. Is it their best? No, it's not. But I think also us as fans who have grown up watching Pixar, we expect so much out of them because they've given us so much.
Right.
You know what I mean? They gave us Toy Stories 1 through 3. They gave us WALL-E. They gave us Finding Nemo. They gave us Moana. Moana. Oh, they didn't give us Moana. That was Disney Animation. But you know what? It's kind of hard to tell the difference because they're both doing CGI animation.
Exactly.
You know? But either way, they gave us Turning Red. And that was about growing up, and that was about change. And that was also about, you know, about family and pride and all that, you know, and all that stuff. Right.
Right.
So I think that's where we, you know, that's where a lot of fans and critics were kind of disappointed in Pixar, because this was so hyped up. You know what I mean? Like, when they first announced it, I was like, they're doing a Lightyear film, like a straight up solo Lightyear film in a decade full of remakes, reboots, retellings, you know,
recreations.
You give us Lightyear. And technically they already gave us the origin of Woody, in Toy Story 2, but here's the sad part. I can see them riding this train much like Disney does with their classic movies, you know.
I see it too.
Like, who from the Toy Story universe would you want to see a origin story from?
Mr. Potato Head.
I was thinking the same thing, but wouldn't there be like a, because Mr. Potato Head is already like, it's already its own established toy in real life, right? So
was Buzz. Buzz was the toy before he became who he was.
Yeah, but Buzz was created by Pixar. Mr. Potato Head has been around for decades.
Thanks to Mattel.
You know, he Mr. Potato Head, for lack of a better term, he's a real toy, you know?
You know what? Once they made him unisex, I feel like he died when it was like he didn't have a gender. It was like, how? He had a wife. He's Mr. Potato Head. You put Mr. in front of it.
I really don't think, and this is just me, because I know gender is a spectrum, but it's not that big of a deal. It's not that big of a deal. And you have representation in Lightyear, which is great. It's awesome. But once again, they didn't have to. And like I said before, and sorry if I'm repeating myself, this is another reason why I feel like they shouldn't have said, oh, this is the story that Andy watched. No, it could have just been its own thing, separate from Toy Story. Some callbacks like you always do, but it's hard to kind of grasp that this was the movie, you know, at least to me. I don't know how other fans feel, but it's a little hard to grasp that this is the movie that Andy and his friends were watching that inspired the Buzz Lightyear toy that we met in 1995.
Right.
Because it really didn't have to be, but you know, it's either here nor there. But ultimately, you already gave your 5-star rating. I'm gonna give it about 3.5.
Oh, wow! Really?
I'm gonna give it a three. I'm gonna give it a 3.5, really, because I wasn't really digging the explanation with the, you know, with the time, and as far as them hitting us with the, you know, with Buzz's with Buzz's story and everything, I felt like it could have done a lot better. But ultimately, good movie. But thank you, my man, for joining us today. Thank you for always bringing your A game. You know, it's a very, you know, it always, you know, it's always fun that, you know, it's always fun when we get to do a podcast together. And I'd recommend anybody watching, you know, anybody listening to this podcast, always, number one, thank you for your support. I will be coming back with more consistent episodes. And also check all of us out on Who They Want Entertainment LLC. Tell them where you can find it.
You can find it on Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, Twitch. It's everywhere now. We global.
Global. And what do we usually talk about for those who don't know?
The podcast show that does everything that they don't. We talk about everything. Real talk with real people.
Mic drop. All right. And with that being said, I am Elder Tenchi. That was Mr. Who They Want Themselves. DJ Steady, are you ready? And we out here. Peace, love, and never be normal.